So because Kartik month is coming up, I said, okay, we put one more point in there. So of course there are many, many points to do and not to do, but in a short frame, time frame, I wanted to focus in on at least the most important things that we need to look at in order to at least make a beginning. This is actually a very, very big topic, and each of the subtopics can be a seminar in themselves, but we'll do the best we can. I want to speak a little bit about Grihastha Vision Team. Grihastha Vision Team was started by Mother Krishna Nandini and Praharna Prabhus in North America because they were very concerned about how difficult Grihastha Ashram had become, and that particular first generation of disciples had a lot of challenges. We also do, but they were of a different nature. It was because Grihastha Ashram was being looked down on in those early days. It was like, oh, this is the ashram, you cannot control your senses, so you go and get married. That kind of a mood was there. So to change that impression and to bring respect, dignity and sanctity of Grihastha Ashram back, they decided to start this to enthuse, educate, enliven and encourage Grihasthas in Grihastha Ashram. So that is how this began, and Mother Krishna Nandini was kind enough to take me, a completely new person who knew nothing of Krishna consciousness, just started my PhD in marriage and family therapy, and she said, you join. I said, Mother, I don't know anything. What can I contribute? You are all Prabhupada disciples, and I'm a newbie. I've just joined the movement. And I wrote to my Guru Maharaj about this offer, and he said, just try to serve, and just try to learn. So that's all I'm doing. So I'm just a very humble and small member of Grihastha Vision Team. But it is my earnest desire to help our young folks to have strong Grihastha Ashram, because you are our future. You are the people who are going to usher in more and more of the next generation by having children yourselves. So therefore, it is our duty as older people, we have to become like spiritual mothers and fathers and guide our young folks so that they can be nicely situated in Grihastha Ashram and have good mentorship to guide them throughout the different twists and turns and storms of Grihastha Ashram. Today, a young couple is really in a very precarious position. One of them is from Norway, another is from Australia, you know. The husband is from Timbuktu and the girl is from Switzerland. So we have Hare Krishna marriages which are so mixed with cultural differences, nationalities, upbringing, families. And of course we are united in service to Krishna, but it's also very challenging because in day-to-day life, I want to do one thing one way, he wants to do one thing one way, he wants to do one thing one way. And so there's always room for clashing, isn't it? So we want to bring unity and tolerance and peacefulness, because unless there is peace, how can we make progress in any ashram? So Mother Krishna Nandini would always say that we do our best and Krishna will help. So both the young couple must constantly keep this in mind, to keep Krishna in the center. Srila Prabhupada was very particular that young couples get sufficient counseling. In fact, he wrote, this marriage business is not a farce. The young couple must be sufficiently counseled. Otherwise, no going forward with this marriage proposal. Because he got disgusted after some time. He was actually performing ceremonies, though as a sannyasi, normally sannyasis don't get involved in all these things. But as a service to his young disciples, he was performing wedding ceremonies. And then he found out that so many of them were just splitting up. So this was very perturbing, and Srila Prabhupada wanted them to take their marriage vows very seriously and be trained in Grihastha Ashram. So we are going to talk about all the things that are favorable for a strong Grihastha life in Krishna consciousness. And the very first one is strong commitment. Now, why are these topics important for everyone to hear, not just Grihasthas? Because leaders, mentors, all of you will be asked to give advice, will be asked to help others. At that time, if you know what resources to point people to, that is helpful information for them. So my hope is that everyone gets something from this particular lecture. So what is the very first thing that we need to be committed to our vows? If both husband and wife make this very strong commitment that no matter how challenging, how difficult, we will remain true to our vows, then Krishna will always be there to help. Unfortunately, in today's situation, we find people just chickening out for, you know, small reasons. They give up easily, they become discouraged, and they say, oh, I think they're incompatible, oh, our astro charts are not compatible, I don't think we were meant to be together, and within 2 years, 3 years, finished, it's all over. But this is not the way to grow closer and stronger in Grihastha Ashram. In fact, when a couple works through difficulties, they actually become stronger, they grow closer to each other and to Krishna, because they have to depend on Krishna to see them through that difficulty. So, commitment is the single most important thing, and this is true of any ashram we belong to. If we don't keep our vows, if we don't chant our rounds, if we don't maintain the regulative principles, how on earth are we going to make progress? Because ultimately, the goal is to become Krishna conscious. Remember, in the end, it's our Krishna consciousness which is going to be tested. In the end, we all have to fly our own plane. Nobody can follow us at the time of death. So therefore, Grihastha Ashram is actually an ashram where both husband and wife are constantly endeavoring to help each other become Krishna conscious. If it becomes a battle zone, who is right, who is wrong, who is superior, who is inferior, I am right, you are wrong. If it's a clash of wills, clash of egos all the time, then the home becomes a battle zone rather than ashram. So therefore, commitment to our vows and practicing Krishna consciousness and being prayerful and asking Krishna to always be there to guide and help is the key to maintaining our Grihastha Ashram and to make progress in Grihastha Ashram. Her Grace Vishakha Mataji, you may all have heard of Vishakha Mataji, who is the first generation disciple of Srila Prabhupada. She has written a very beautiful article, and it's online also. It's called Serving Krishna as Husband or Wife. Six things that make it favorable, six things that make it unfavorable. It's a beautiful article, and I have taken several quotes of Srila Prabhupada from that article, as well as her own realizations, and I highly encourage all of you to take time to read this article, because it's very important for our Grihastha life. It's a little long, but it's worthwhile to read it. One of the things she says there is, and I'm going to read this out. May I have this a little bit here, please? Thank you. The first and overriding principle in the husband-wife relationship is the unrelenting desire of both individuals to make their marriage work through Krishna consciousness. See the wording used, is the unrelenting desire of both individuals to make their marriage work through Krishna consciousness. If that desire is in place, then there are scores of books and discussions, counselors, scriptural directions, and the Lord in the heart to help. Therefore, commitment is so important. Both individuals must have this very strong commitment that we are together for life. Through all the ups and downs, you know, in poverty or in wealth, in sickness or in health, for richer or for poorer, until death do us part, we will be together serving Krishna, serving each other to become the best devotee we can be. That is the whole point of Grihastha Ashram, to help your wife or to help your husband blossom and grow in their Krishna consciousness. Encourage them by seeing what their talents, their propensities and their abilities are, and helping them to use all those gifts that Krishna has given in his service. This is actually the success of Grihastha Ashram, when both husband and wife are working as a team and helping each other as true partners to come up in their Krishna consciousness and then to raise children nicely in an atmosphere of Krishna consciousness. So commitment is the key. It's one of the pillars to making marriage successful. The second point I want to talk about is teamwork. Both husband and wife must understand their roles and their responsibilities. Expectations must be very clearly understood by good discussion at the beginning of the preparation for Grihastha Ashram. That means the young couple must sit down and talk about different aspects of Grihastha life. Who's going to take out the garbage? Who's going to bring the children from school? Who's going to go to work? Who's going to pay the bills? Who's going to cook? Who's going to do dishes? Who's going to do laundry? After the wedding ceremony is over, you have to live together and then you have to do all this stuff, right? I'll tell you an amusing story. Shall I? You'd like to hear? A young couple was on a honeymoon and the girl came out screaming, "Oh, there's a cockroach in there, there's a cockroach in there." And she looks at her husband, do something," kind of a look, you know. And then he says, "My mother always took care of it." So now suddenly you have to grow up, right? Mommy and daddy are no longer around, and here you have a wife, or here you have a husband, and you have to deal with it. So this is the reality of Grihastha life. Now you have to start doing things yourself. No mommy to pick up your clothes and put them in the laundry mat. No mommy to cook for you. No mommy to do things for you. You have to help each other to navigate Grihastha life, right? So may I have one copy too, please, Bhakta Alexander? Yeah. Can I get one copy just so that... Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ananda Prabhu. So we want that our young people don't go into it, you know, like naive kids, not knowing what is coming. They need to have training. They need to have understanding of Grihastha Ashram. And for that, we have premarital counseling. I don't know about Slovenia, but in North America, we persuaded the GBC not to do fire sacrifice ceremonies until the couple had done at least 6 sessions of premarital counseling. This was a requirement, and then only the pujari was allowed to do the fire sacrifice ceremony, because we want our kids to have a good start. Not go into it, you know, like blind kittens, not knowing what to expect. That's not actually fair to the young couple. It is we who have to train them. We have to give them clear understanding of what to expect, because every little thing can become a source of disagreement and conflict. No, I don't believe in allopathy. We are going to take our kids only to Ayurvedic doctor. "But he has such high fever. Ayurveda takes so long. My kid will die." You know? These are real life situations. So you need to have a plan in place. You need to have mutual understanding of how you're going to deal with situations. How you're going to deal with money. Where will we go for a vacation? All these things are covered. If you look on our Grihastha Vision Team website, I'm so sorry that people are not able to see it, but those of you who are online, if you Google Grihastha Vision Team, you will come across our website. It's www.vaishnavfamilyresources.org. And if you click on resources, you will see, if you click on premarital, do you think, Bhakta Alexander, we can do that? Yes. One of the tabs is premarital. If you click on that and go scroll down, please. If you scroll down, you'll come across something called premarital inventory. And this talks about all the different aspects of Grihastha life that we encourage a young couple to sit down and discuss with each other before getting married. You must understand each other, you must know each other, and you must have a very clear idea of what the expectations are. And you must have some working knowledge of what your role and responsibility is going to be. in the marriage. What kind of marriage are you going to have? Are you going to have something where you're going to be home, taking care of the kids, you know, making the home, you know, a nice place, and the husband goes to work and brings all the money? Or are you going to have a marriage in which you're also expected to work and bring some money home? What kind of marriage? That's up to the young couple to navigate and decide. And then, once you do that, how are you going to manage your sadhana? How are you going to manage your spiritual life? Because remember, balancing your spiritual life is vital to the success of your grihastha life. We cannot afford to sacrifice our spiritual life just to maintain our material life, because that way you will lose both eventually. You can't afford to do that. So we want our couples to understand each other, get to know each other, know each other's personalities and temperaments, also know how they are when they are stressed. It's very easy to like someone when they're in a good mood. Isn't it? But can you like someone when they're grumpy and irritable and angry and upset and depressed and nervous and having some, you know, meltdowns? That's the test. Isn't it? So we want to understand our partner in all different aspects and in all different situations and see, can I handle this? Can I take this person's ups and downs? Can I handle their temperament, their personality? Because it should be a good match. And then you'll find it easier to navigate when actually the challenges come, because you've already known, you've already seen. It doesn't come like a surprise. So, Srila Prabhupada says this in Bhagavatam. If husband and wife are attached to one another for advancement in Krishna consciousness, their relationship of cooperation is very effective for advancement. And Srila Prabhupada says that the boy and the girl should be carefully matched in terms of being equals, true peers. Marriage and friendship are proper between two people who are equal in terms of their wealth, birth, influence, physical appearance and capacity for good progeny, but never between a superior and an inferior. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:60-15. We want our life's companion to be a true peer. We want good teamwork. We want good understanding. We want good partnership. We want good Krishna conscious bonding to happen, so that the couple can function nicely as husband and wife and serve each other, serve Krishna nicely in their grihastha life. Then their life can become Vaikuntha. Another beautiful saying of how important it is to have a good wife or a good husband. Marriage is like a fortress created by the husband and wife to protect themselves from the powerful enemies of uncontrolled senses and peacefully make spiritual advancement. So the bodily senses are considered plunderers of the fort, and the wife is supposed to be the commander of the fort, and therefore, whenever there's an attack on the body by the senses, it is the wife who protects the body from being smashed. This is again Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 14th chapter, verse 22. And now Srila Prabhupada gives a very powerful statement. You want to hear this one? One who is situated in household life and who systematically conquers his mind and five sense organs is like a king in his fortress who conquers his powerful enemies. That's in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 1st chapter, verse 18. So, all these scriptural injunctions are given for what? To make us Krishna conscious. To make us ready for that final test. And in Grihastha Ashram, the duty of each husband and wife is to help each other reach that point. The third point, which is very favorable, and which is a must actually, clear, respectful communication. This is actually where most couples have great difficulty. communication becomes more and more difficult in today's world because one, there is no time, we are rushing and doing so many things, we think that we already know what the other person has to say, so don't even say it. This is the kind of problems that happen, and then the conflicts, the disagreement, they start building, and before you know it, the couple is in full-blown war. So we don't want couples to neglect their relationship. We want every couple to take some time, at least once a week, to sit down and say, is there an issue I need to know about? Have you not told me something because you are feeling that, you know, I don't have time for you? Well, now I want to make time and I want to hear how you're feeling. How are things going? Have an honest discussion where you're vulnerable with each other and clearly communicate if you have issues, if you have concerns, and discuss with your partner like a friend to a friend and talk about things so that everything is sorted out within that week. Don't carry forward anger, resentment, unresolved conflicts because they start adding up and they create distance between the husband and wife. And Maya can enter very easily when there's gap between husband and wife. So we don't want that to happen. We want you to have clear, respectful communication and resolve things in a nice way so that there is no pileup of negative energy in your relationship. Is that okay? Okay. So that's number three. Then I want to talk about a very important aspect of any relationship, but especially in Grihastha Ashram, is mutual appreciation. We tend to neglect this also because we tend to take each other for granted. We tend to think, he knows I love him. He thinks, she knows I love him. And, you know, with all the daily chores and daily challenges, you just take each other for granted. But this is actually a little challenging because then so easily Maya can come into the picture. So easily. The wife gets more praise in the office. Some of her colleagues tell her she's doing such a great job. And she starts thinking, this guy pays more attention to me than my husband. He appreciates me more than my husband. And then she starts feeling attracted because it's normal for anyone to feel attracted to someone who is giving them something to feel good. So don't allow that to happen in your marriage. Don't allow Maya to come in. Always be in a mood of respect, appreciation for your partner. And Radhanath Maharaj says this. I'm not saying this. One personal appreciation should be given to the husband by the wife and by the wife to the husband every day. And one personal service, something small, should be given to each other every day. This will keep the relationship nourished and will prevent one from sinking into the complacency of taking each other for granted. How are we doing in terms of time? Oh, 4:35. Okay. We have a lot to cover, so maybe I'll go a little quick. The fourth thing, so important to Grihastha life, financial stability. Every young couple needs to have some idea of how they're going to pay the bills, how they're going to manage their Grihastha life. Earn honestly, earn decently. You don't have to do something, you know, wrong or dishonest to make money. You do what you can and then manage intelligently with what Krishna is giving you. Be satisfied with what Krishna is providing you through that job. And Srila Prabhupada says, wife should be so intelligent that she manages with whatever her husband is bringing home. This is how the finances have to be managed. And then, most important, every couple should think, I'm earning so much because Krishna is giving me this money. How can I give back? The principle of Grihastha Ashram is charity. Every Grihastha must think that how can I give back? And one of the principles is to offer prasadam. The scriptures say that every Grihastha should be ready to feed someone every day by going out into the street and calling out, is there anyone hungry? Is there anyone hungry? Is there anyone hungry? And then if someone comes, offer them. Of course, this was true in India. In the Western countries, there's so much food. People will think we are crazy if we go out into the streets and call people to come and eat. So we must try to keep that mood of offering prasadam to devotees, trying to be charitable, offering some monetary donations to the temple, keeping some percentage of an income as, you know, the Christians call it tithing. But we just say we offer donation to Krishna simply because he is giving us so much. This keeps us in the mood of understanding all this money is not mine to enjoy. It's actually coming from Krishna. And so I must give back. So grihasthas are encouraged to think about charity as the principal way to give back. So charity means you have to manage your money nicely, right? Otherwise, how will you have any left over for charity? So, you know, watching your spending habits, saving something for emergencies, saving something for your old age and retirement, all these are very important. And a young couple needs to be told this right in the beginning so that they have a plan in place. And finally, quality time as a couple and a family. We want that our family stays strong by spending time with each other. Every father and mother should sit down with their kids and take time to read a Krishna book or to do a family pastime or go to the beach and enjoy some water pastime like Lord Chaitanya did, all the while remembering Krishna even through that and encouraging bonding, closeness and intimacy, because children will speak up only when they are feeling a deep sense of relaxation and comfort in the presence of parents who are looking out for their welfare. Otherwise, children will not open up and tell, oh, I'm being bullied at school. Oh, this person is harassing me. Children will not speak up unless the atmosphere in the home is conducive for that by their parents really paying attention to them and giving them quality time. That means the children are the focus of attention. They're not looking at their messages. They're not looking at the screen. They're not doing their, you know, office work in the house while, you know, listening to the kid. That doesn't work. Because the kid can see, dad is not really interested. He's just saying, yes, but he's not interested. And it's not going to work. And remember, this nurturing when they're small is important so that when they're adolescents, teenagers, you still have a bond with them. If you don't do this paid work now, by the time they're adolescents, they're pretty much gone. My dad never paid attention to me when I was growing up. Why should I bother now? You know, that's the mood. Of course, devotees understand and devotees are not like that. I'm just saying, just for you to understand how important it is to honor our kids as spirit souls. They are not just little people who are running around. They are spirit souls who have been sent by Krishna for us to nurture and nourish and bring them up nicely in Krishna consciousness. So if we take care of all these things nicely, it's very likely our grihastha life will be very strong. And even if tests and challenges come, which they will. Radhanath Maharaj said in one wedding lecture, you know, like the Govardhan Hill pastime, you can expect in Grihastha Ashram torrential rain and thunder and lightning and icicles and hail and everything to come at you. But if you remain under the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, both of you together, you will be able to weather any storm. So we want our couples to have full shelter of Krishna and then have nice mentors, to have nice connection in the community so that when there is a difficulty, they can turn to older grihasthas to help them out in case of difficult situations. And young people need that. Young people need to be connected to marriage mentors so that they can have the guidance they need when they are puzzled, when they are bewildered, when they are disheartened, discouraged, or they have had a big fight and they don't know what to do. That time, your marriage mentor is like your spiritual mother or father, and they will help you understand the situation. Oh, don't worry, she's just, you know, at that odd time of the month, she's having an outburst because her hormones are out of whack. So then you can take a deep breath and say, whew, few more days it'll be over. Or the girl will be told, don't worry, he's like that when he's very hungry. He comes from office, he's like a you know, railway engine, you know, going at full speed. Just put a plate of food, don't say anything. After he's finished eating, then you can talk. And she realized, oh, okay, I understand better now, not to start talking, give him food first. It's little things like this that a young girl or a young boy need to hear from their mentors so that a big fight or big misunderstandings are avoided by hearing the wisdom of elders. So those are all the things that are favorable. Now we come to what you need to avoid so that your grihastha life remains strong. The major problem today is lack of training. People are not prepared for grihastha ashram because they don't know. What does grihastha ashram involve? What are my responsibilities? What is my role? How do I need to be? What do I need to learn? I need to learn to cook. I need to learn to clean. I need to learn to keep house. I need to know so many things. And many times, girls, you know, especially today, we all go to college and we have an education and we get training to be a doctor or an engineer or a this or a that. But we don't know the first thing about cooking. I didn't know anything. When I got married, I was a complete rookie. And I remember my mother telling my mother-in-law, Lakshmi, that was my birth name. She doesn't know anything like this. And my mother-in-law was very sweet. She said, yeah, but she knows to be a doctor and all the rest she will pick up now. I will teach her. So like this, we need to have training in grihastha life, no matter what other training we may have, because at home you need to eat, right? If you don't know how to cook, what are you going to eat? So lack of training in grihastha life is a very major issue. And we want all our young people to be well prepared by attending all these courses that we have. Grihastha Vision team has many training courses and we encourage everybody to sign up. One of our major and most important ones is called Strengthening the Bonds That Free Us. And I'm going to pass on that sort of brochure telling you about it. It's called 12 Principles for a Successful Krishna Conscious Life. And I think everybody has one copy, right? Yeah, this is the full version of the Strengthening the Bonds That Free Us. And we encourage people to sign up so that they're well prepared for grihastha ashram. We want our young folks to have complete knowledge, complete understanding, and complete training. Now, like you have ISKCON Disciples course, right? For young people, so that they know what they're getting into. They know what is guru-disciple relationship. They know what they're signing up for when they're told, this is what you have to follow. You have to follow the regulative principles. You have to chant 16 rounds. And then why they have to do it, who is the guru, what is the relation, everything is explained, right? Similarly, we want our young folks to have a very clear understanding and sort out all their doubts, ask all the questions, and get complete clarification, and then you will be better prepared for grihastha ashram. Lack of commitment. Many young people are unable to keep their vows. Now, for any success in any endeavor, you have to be committed. Whether it's holding down a job, whether it's holding down your grihastha ashram, commitment is the key to riding out the storm and getting and attracting Krishna's mercy. If you get disheartened and discouraged and say, oh, this is too much. This woman is so unreasonable. She's so illogical. She just goes nuts. I can't deal with her. I'm out of here. Guess what? In your second marriage, you'll have to face the same thing. It doesn't get any easier by chucking out one partner and getting another, because the same dynamics will happen even in the second marriage or the third marriage even. People think they can escape their karma, but it just follows them into the next relationship. So you have to work at it. Why not work at it in your first marriage? And sail through and peacefully reach vanaprastha ashram without any difficulty if you do it right. That's what we want, isn't it? We want to become more and more situated in our Krishna consciousness. And remember, if you navigate Grihastha Ashram nicely, you will be at peace and you will reach Vanaprastha Ashram with all your desires satisfied, your wishes fulfilled and everything, and you will be able to move on. However, if you don't navigate Grihastha Ashram, there will always be a nagging feeling of doubt. Oh, maybe I should be with someone else. Maybe I would be happier. And that nagging feeling will irritate you and probably make you break up and look for someone else and go through the same cycle again. That is why strong sadhana is important. So Maya doesn't come and attack you, because she will. She will plant so many ideas in your head that will make you doubt your Grihastha Ashram or doubt your partner. Maya is very strong. So we don't want to allow all these things. We want to remain strongly committed. And lack of commitment today is causing a lot of problems, because people chicken out at the first sign of difficulty and then they have to go through it again. So quitting is not an answer. In a Krishna conscious marriage, if you really want to succeed, you will get all help. But remember, the Lord may severely test you, but He will also give you all that you need to pass the test. There is a... let me see if I can pull up that quote. Yes, you want to hear this quote? It's so wonderful. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 8, Canto 22, chapter, verse 29 and 30. The Lord is so kind to His devotee that when severely testing Him, the Lord gives him the necessary strength to be tolerant and to continue to remain a glorious devotee. So don't worry. Whatever storms come your way, have faith that Krishna has a plan and He's going to make you better. And couples have seen themselves, and even research bears this out, couples who stray together through the storm, they become stronger, they become wiser, and they become better. So when quitting is not an option and is not justified, the alternative, sooner or later, is overcoming the difficulty. Difficulties are inevitable, but overcoming and not quitting is optional and requires our discipline, courage and wisdom. And that is why we need mentors. We need seniors to guide us through all those difficult phases where we may not have the courage, we may not have the wisdom, neither we may have the discipline, but with our seniors guiding us, we can get through the storm. So don't let lack of commitment catch you. Become strong by getting good training before you get married. That is why I'm so happy to see all of you here getting good training before you are entering Grihastha Ashram, because this discipline, rising early, chanting your rounds, hearing the classes, taking full shelter of Krishna through devotional service, engaging with other devotees, associating with devotees, all this is wonderful training, because it helps you get detached from this idea that this material world is a great place or that sense enjoyment is going to bring happiness, because we know all that is temporary. And we understand the real purpose of life. So therefore, brahmachari and brahmacharini training is very important, because such well-trained brahmacharis and brahmacharinis will go on to have a very good Grihastha Ashram, because they have understood what is the purpose of Grihastha Ashram. And they will be able to manage their Grihastha life, keeping the principles nicely in mind and the purpose of human life in mind, and understanding the real purpose of Grihastha Ashram is to become Krishna conscious. So my duty is to help my partner stick to the path. If my partner is slipping for some reason, I need to say, oh, what can I do to help? How can I help? Are you feeling very tired? Are there too many chores on your head? Do you need some help so that you can chant your rounds? You know, both husband and wife have to be very careful and vigilant to help each other so that they don't slip away and become lax in their spiritual life. Keeping your sadhana strong is very, very important. So, stay committed. Again, the third one I want to stress on is lack of healthy communication. And for this, many times we have to address our emotional baggage. We may have suffered trauma in childhood, or we may have present trauma going on. We may have triggers, or we may have one failed marriage. And now, if my wife cooks the same thing, I start freaking out because it reminds me of that first wife and all the problems I had. And she doesn't know why you are getting so mad that you made idli sambar, that she made idli sambar, because she did it with all love and all affection and all desire to please you, and you're freaking out over this idli and sambar. And she is mortified. What did she do wrong? You see, this is how emotional triggers can catch us. But it's nothing to do with her. It's not her fault. It's the emotional baggage which is acting as a trigger, making you react to what is happening now. So couples need to address emotional baggage. Couples need to talk and get healing from past trauma, past relationships, past challenges, whatever they may have, so that you're not bringing that into the relationship and reacting to your spouse and taking out all that angst on them. You know, they become the target for all your unresolved issues, and that's not fair, right? Why should they be responsible for what's happened to you, you know, in your previous marriage or in your previous job? Nowadays, you know, jobs are also very dangerous places. There's a lot of workplace bullying going on. So if your boss has been bullying you a lot, guess what? You come home from work and then your wife said, would you please change the sheets? The children will be, why should I do anything? Why can't you do it? Who do you think I am? Do you think you're my boss to bully me? And she's like, well, what did I say? What did I do? I just asked you to change the sheet. But he's reacting to the bullying boss at work. You see? So therefore, working on our emotional triggers, keeping the workplace at work, bringing a healthy self home, all these things are very important so that you don't have all those storms, you know, coming forth from your workplace into your home life. Same thing for a girl. Supposing she's having some issues with her mom. Don't we all have issues with our mom? And then, you know, she's had a long phone conversation and her mom tells her, you haven't cooked this nicely, you haven't baked this nicely, you haven't done this nicely. And she gives her a long list of what her daughter has not done well. And then her husband walks in the door and she's already feeling, you know, really miserable because mom has complained so much about how she's not doing right. And then she offers dinner and husband says, today there's no less salt in the food. She has a big blow up and she says, every day I cook so nicely. Today if there's less salt, what is so great about it? Can you not be tolerant? And he's like, I just said there's less salt. And that can be a cause of a big storm. Why? Because she is reacting to mom's criticism. It's not her husband's fault. He just said, you know, today there's a little less salt. You know, he may just say it. But she is reacting and she, you know, freaks out about it. So we want to be careful that we're not bringing in a lot of baggage into the relationship and affecting our partners. This is something couples really need to work on because, hey, we all have baggage. Who doesn't? Everyone has baggage. We need to work on it so that it's not affecting our children, our spouses, our neighbors, our co-workers, everyone. Lack of support for couples. In today's Krishna conscious society, if you have a couple who is married for 20, 25 years, hey, they are gold. Hold on to them. They will be marriage mentors for all the young people in, you know, your community, because young people need strong, wise grihasthas who are stable in their family life and who can help. So today, how many people are together? You talk to any young person, my parents are divorced, my mom left my dad left my mom. They don't have good role models for how to have a happy marriage. Who is going to support them? This is a big problem today, that there's lack of support, you know, for young couples. And we need to have more and more people in strong, stable, long-standing marriages so that young people feel some courage, saying, oh, okay, Krishna Dasi and Arjun Das are together for 25 years. If they can do it, so can I, right? We need to have people like that. We need to have mentors, we need to have strong couples, and we need to have support for our young couples today. Otherwise, it's very, very challenging. What will that poor young couple do if they have a problem? It takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to raise a couple. So we want to have strong support for our Krishna conscious couples by being strong grihasthas ourselves. The fourth, one, two, three, four, okay, fifth one. Lack of financial stability. We talked a little about this. Finances play a huge role in keeping your life free of stress or causing a lot of stress. So have a plan in place. Make sure that you are earning in a decent way, in an honorable way, in an honest way, not overdoing it, because we don't want workaholism causing so much difficulty for everyone, including the person who has workaholism. We want to have enough to live comfortably and do our Krishna consciousness nicely. And Krishna is always looking to help his devotees. So being prayerful, taking guidance, asking our gurus, what kind of job will be good for me, for my grihastha life, and then going forward with that assurance and blessings to do that job, will bring enough money. Don't worry. Krishna will not let you starve. Krishna will see to it that you have enough, because Krishna loves his devotees. So planning intelligently, planning wisely, and giving up this poverty consciousness, oh, I'll never have enough, oh, I can never pay the bills on time. No, you can. Many of our conditioning comes from our past. Maybe you grew up in a home where your parents were always anxious about money. You're going to have that same mentality. How will I pay the bills? How will I pay the bills? How will I pay the bills? But you need to work on that and be prayerful and say, no, Krishna will help me. I don't have to be like that. I don't have to be so anxious. Because guess what? When you're very anxious about bills and money, you're going to affect your partner. She or he is going to also become very nervous about money. So what we feel affects our partners. So we have to be careful about not passing on that anxiety, worry, tension, etc. And having some level of peace in the home by having financial plan in place. And again, working on our emotional triggers. Remember, money and emotion have a big connection. Very big connection. How we spend, how we save, all that is very dependent on what kind of emotional connection we have with money. That's a whole seminar, but I want to warn everyone to understand the role money plays in grihastha life and have a plan in place. Save for emergencies, save for your old age and retirement, save for your children's education to whatever extent you can. You don't have to go overboard because Krishna will help. But do something so that you can have peace on a day-to-day basis and it's not a constant source of stress. And if it is, get help. There are financial consultants, there are devotees, there are, you know, seminars. There are so many resources today on the net for free that will help you come up with a budget. How to save, how to spend, where to shop. Where are the coupons available? Where are the sales available? All those things are there and you can come up with a nice plan to manage your grihastha life. In fact, Grihastha Vision team has come up with a book. It's called Heart and Soul Connections, A Vaishnav Guide for Marriage, Service and Love. Can you Google that for us so everybody can see the book? It's available on Amazon. But I want people to know that in this book, a whole chapter is devoted finances. So I encourage everybody to buy this book because it's like a guide for life, for grihastha life. Everybody can get something out of the book. Heart and Soul Connections. Heart and Soul Connections. Google. Heart and Soul Connections. A Vaishnav Guide to Marriage, Service, and love. A Vaishnav guide to marriage, service and love. This is a really great compilation by 13 people on the Grihastha Vision team talking about every aspect of Grihastha life. Preparing for marriage, healthy communication, managing finances, dealing with conflict, affection and physical intimacy, which is a very delicate topic in Grihastha life, but a very important one and needs to be talked about, and helping young couples is very important. We also talk about discord, conflicts and divorce. We talk about parenting in Krishna consciousness. And we talk about, what are the other chapters? Parenting, nurturing. I forget all the others. There are many chapters, but each chapter is so wonderfully written so that couples can understand thoroughly how to deal with that particular situation. And many, many couples have said they have found it very useful as a guidebook for managing Grihastha life. Has it come up? Yeah, there we go. That's it. That's the book that we have all, you know, written together, all of us, because we want our folks, our young people, to have a strong Grihastha life, and we want them to have a guidebook for Grihastha life. Finally, I want to say, oh wow, we are past 5 o'clock here. Chanakya Pandit says, in a home where rascals are not worshipped, where food grains are stocked nicely, and where there is no quarrel between husband and wife, automatically in that home, the goddess of fortune comes to reside. So couples don't have to worry. If they can remain conflict-free, worshipping Krishna nicely, why will Krishna's wife not come and stay in your house and bring peace and prosperity and everything? Right? The goddess of fortune comes where Narayan is worshipped nicely. So couples don't have to worry so much. How will we manage? How will we manage? How will we manage? When you're worshipping nicely Krishna, you're taking care of Krishna nicely, you're feeding him nicely, why will Krishna not take care of you? So we need to have faith that Krishna is there and he's watching over us and he's going to help us, and we can manage any difficulty by taking shelter of Krishna. So I hope that was useful. Thank you all very much for listening so patiently. I know we had very little time and we had to rush through a lot of points, but now that you have the handouts and you have the website, welcome to look at the website and explore it. There's lots of useful articles, references, book references, and of course we have the book also advertised on our website. So hopefully all these resources will be useful for you. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask.
I'll be the devil's advocate. I don't know.
Sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
I will be the devil's advocate. No, just joking.
Okay.
So a bit different question. What do you think about marriage of devotees with non-devotees?
Yeah. This is going to happen more and more often because we are expanding. And a lot of devotees are getting married. In fact, Mother Krishna Nandini was married to a Muslim man. She was married to a Muslim man. Can you imagine? They had an interfaith marriage. And then, after she married him, before, Prabhupada came to her in a dream and said to her, you teach people how to have Krishna conscious marriage. She didn't have a husband at that time. She didn't have, you know, any relationship, and she was thinking, Prabhupada has said this, I don't know what, but she was always praying, and then she married Tariq Prabhu, and together they decided to work to strengthen Grihastha Ashram. I also have a god sister who is married to a Muslim man. There are many, many people who are married to non-devotees. As long as there's mutual respect, cooperation, understanding, affection, and a genuine desire to to be with that person without trying to change them, fix them, try to manipulate them into doing something that they are not ready for, you can make it work. You carry on with your own Krishna consciousness. You don't have to sacrifice or sabotage your Krishna consciousness or in any way spoil your Krishna consciousness. You carry on with your Krishna conscious practices and pray to Krishna to help you. Is that okay?
But you said, I mean, as I said, I will be the devil's advocate. But you said the purpose of marriage is to grow in Krishna consciousness. So then what's the purpose of such marriage?
Well, the other person has chosen to follow Islam, let's say. As long as you're helping them follow their path and they are becoming Krishna conscious in their own way, maybe it is Allah conscious or whatever, Christianity, let's say, that path is also bona fide. It's not that only Hare Krishnas, you know, have the last say. There are very, very pious Christians. There are very, very pious Muslims. And so if they are genuinely following their path and genuinely practicing their faith with mutual respect, you can make it work. Krishna Nandini Mataji was married to Tariq. He would read his namaz, do his namaz, he would do his Quran, and together they worked to help many, many other couples in Krishna consciousness. So it takes a lot of work though, because you have to really, really make efforts to communicate, to understand the person, and to be very prayerful at all times, to be respectful, because, you know, we may not agree with some of the practices, we may not find that, you know, congenial, but as long as we give each other space, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with a marriage in which both are honoring their own faiths and trying to please God in their own way? Does that make sense? No. No. Well, you know, you have a...
I mean, it makes sense in this case, but many times they are non-devotees and they are non... They don't want to follow them.
But what about meat-eating? I mean, Christians, the most pious are meat-eaters. Most pious are meat-eaters.
Well, you have to understand, if you are choosing to be with a Christian and he or she is a meat-eater, then you're marrying that person the way they are. My God sister is married to a Muslim man, and she was married to him for many years before she came to Krishna consciousness, and then she came to Krishna consciousness. So it was a big thing, you know, in their marriage when she decided to become Krishna conscious, and she, you know, was always taking guidance from Guru Maharaj, and he said, you carry on with your Krishna consciousness, you do the things nicely, don't interfere with him or his lifestyle, don't try to change him or bully him into becoming Krishna conscious. And so she started doing her Krishna conscious activities with a lot of respect for him, giving him space, at the same time not compromising what she needs to do. She got a different set of utensils so that she could cook nicely for Krishna. She kept everything separate because she wanted to serve Krishna. And she became a strict vegetarian. Her husband continued to eat meat, but my Guru Maharaj told her, you don't worry about that. You just focus on your Krishna consciousness. And slowly, slowly, her husband is beginning to like being with devotees. He actually comes for satsangs. And he actually is taking some interest, little bit. I know other people also who are with non-devotees, and over a period of time eating Krishna prasadam, they have given up eating meat. Now, this is not to say that, you know, it'll always happen, but it can. And Krishna is there to help you to navigate. Marriage is a very sacred bond. So if you're already married to a non-devotee, you know, Krishna has put you in that situation. You do your best and Krishna will help. But If you are very, very sure that you want to be with only a Krishna conscious devotee partner, then right in the beginning, you have made that your criterion, that you will not even entertain a non-devotee for a partner, then you just go in for a Krishna conscious partner. If that is so important that you will not, you know, be able to manage with a non-devotee, then you make that choice. We all make choices, don't we? So you choose, no, this will never work for me. I cannot, you know, be with a non-devotee. Then that's your criterion. Every person must sit down and take time to know themselves and decide what they will compromise on, what they will not compromise on, and what doesn't matter to them. Make a list. This is absolutely non-negotiable, that you must be vegetarian.